Srila Prabhupada was amazing. He had the best answers to people's questions. One time an Indian reporter, a young Indian reporter who was in LA at a press conference, he said to Prabhupada, "Why have you come to America?" Prabhupada looked at this young Indian reporter, he said, "Why have you come to America?" He said, "I came for better opportunities." Prabhupada said, "Me too." One time here in the manor, one lady reporter, she said to Prabhupada, "Why do you shave your head?" Prabhupada looked at her and said, "Why do you shave your legs?" Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, you don't need to answer the question, but we prefer warm legs and a cool head." One time someone said to Prabhupada, "In India the death rates are higher than other places." Prabhupada said, "The death rate is the same everywhere, 100%. Another devotee, someone asked Prabhupada, "Is the earth flat?" Prabhupada said, "Everywhere I walk is flat. I think the earth is flat." I mean, Prabhupada was amazing. He had the best answers. He had the best answers. You see, our scriptures, our philosophy is expressed in questions and answers. The Bhagavad Gita is questions and answers. The Srimad Bhagavatam is questions and answers. The most profound knowledge comes out in dialogues. So here now, as we begin the 13th chapter of the Gita, these chapters are all about jnana or knowledge, and therefore Arjuna is asking Krishna many, many different questions. The essential point that Krishna is clarifying in the 13th chapter is our position and the position of God. You see, God is here and we are here. The philosophy of atheism, what it does is it brings God down, pull God down. So God and us, we're on the same level. But there is another philosophy called impersonalism, or what Prabhupada used to call Mayavad. And Mayavad, what it tells us is that we are all God. So don't pull God down, but instead, let us all go. What is the net result of both of those philosophies? There's no difference between me and God. I don't need to surrender to anyone. Prabhupada said this is the biggest cheating in the world. The greatest happiness comes from having a relationship of service with God. And if you become atheist, or if you try to establish that we are all God, then these philosophies will cheat you from finding the real happiness that you're looking for. And therefore this chapter is known as Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness. Here, Krishna, and sometimes people feel this chapter to be very complicated. And Krishna does use technical terminology to show that we never become God. We are always servants of God. So in this chapter, Krishna is explaining everything technically about these concepts, and sometimes people find it difficult to understand. And what to speak of the 13th chapter, sometimes we find the Gita difficult to understand. True? You read one page, you go on to the next page, and you can't remember what was on the previous page. Going in one ear, going out the other ear, and am I really understanding any of these things? One time one person came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I'm trying to read the Gita, but I can't understand Krishna." Prabhupada said, "Very good." He said, "What do you mean, very good?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, you can never understand Krishna fully." So the devotee said, "Then Prabhupada, why did you write so many books?" Prabhupada said, "I wrote the books to help you to understand that you can't understand Krishna." You see, we need knowledge. We need to hear about Krishna. But we will never be able to fully grasp the essence or the, not the essence, but we will never be able to fully grasp the complete personality of Krishna. It is beyond our scope. And so sometimes when we read scriptures or when we read the Bhagavad Gita, if we are feeling that I'm reading but I'm not understanding everything, then yes, take the help of devotees, come to courses, do other things. But remember, we will never really be able to understand Krishna fully, because Krishna goes beyond the grasp of our logic. Let me ask you a question. Who comes first, the father or the son? Who's born first? The father, of course. Right? Father is born. Agree? 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 You're wrong. Until the son is born, is the man a father? No. First the son has to be born, and then the man is a father. Agree? 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 Wrong. The father and son are born at exactly the same time. So here we could have three statements. One person could say the father is born before the son, and he's correct. Another person could say the son is born before the father, and he could be correct. And someone could say the father and the son are born simultaneously, and he can also be correct. If in a mundane example of this world we can have statements which seem to be contradictory and illogical, what to speak of Krishna? We will never be able to box the philosophy of Krishna consciousness into a structure. It goes beyond our logic and argument. And therefore, while reading the Gita, while reading technical chapters, especially like the 13th chapter, do not become discouraged if you cannot understand or grasp all of the philosophy. Because we're not just trying to know Krishna, but we're ultimately trying to love Krishna. And as the wisdom and the knowledge and Krishna's words goes through our mind, even if we can't contain everything in our mind, we should be confident that those words are purifying our heart. And ultimately we are looking for purification of heart. And so in this 13th chapter, Krishna begins the process of giving us jnana or knowledge, answering Arjuna's questions, establishing that we are always a servant of God, and showing that yes, sometimes we will not be able to grasp everything by our own intelligence.